Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also known as Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today we're going to continue our study in the book of 1 Corinthians. And last time we left off in chapter 11. And if you're interested in the last time where we left off, I've been having an enjoyable time going through Corinthians. So if you want to catch up on some of those studies, you can go to the my website, crosstheborder.org. You scroll down a little bit, you'll see the most current week's program, a link there, and it'll take you to an index where you have dated programs. And you can avail yourself of anything there. Also on my webpage, on my front page at my website, you'll find listed various books of the Bible studies there for you to take advantage of. You can download them. There's absolutely no cost. Freely I've received and freely I give. So these programs are free to listen to, and they're free to listen to at any time on demand to anyone, anywhere. That's because I labor to bring this message and this work to anyone who desires or has an opportunity to hear it, however that may happen. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 10, and this is where we left off last time. And it's the verse goes, "For this cause ought a woman to have power on her head because of the angels." And this power, and the word there, power there, is the exousia. And let's see, this is translated power many times throughout the scripture. I wish I had looked it up, but it indicates that there is power by a woman wearing this covering on her head. It is a sign. Now, my late wife, who was a good and godly woman, she desired so much to live her life in a way that was pleasing to the Heavenly Father, though it seemed strange to her at first to wear a head covering, because, we've all been indoctrinated in the ways of the world, and you don't want to be an outcast. And it was what was amazing was the amount of opposition. I mean, what does anyone care or have to do whether I wear a hat or not? You know, nobody cares. Men can go around wearing a hat or not wearing a hat. But the minute a woman puts on a head covering, it becomes controversial, because they say, well, then you become in subjection to a man. And that's the Jezebel spirit that dominates our age and dominates the society in America. Because that's what it really all is all about. Because equality is the embodiment of the Jezebel spirit of the age, that women must be equal to men and women must not be in subjection to a man, regardless. And forget what the Bible says. I mean, you know, the Bible clearly lays out our Heavenly Father's authority structure for His kingdom on earth, and it places women under men in authority only. Doesn't mean that men are better than women, but men are never equal to women, just like apples will never be equal to oranges. They're just different, and that's the way our Heavenly Father created it. So we can accept that, or we can rebel against that. And you have the Jezebel spirit of the age, which rebels against that. And these women don't know what they're throwing off when they throw off this sign to the angels that they are under His kingdom authority structure. It's a sign of obedience, and it gives you power, ladies. And yes, you know, it's just like following the Messiah. You will be scorned by all the Jezebels out there in the world and all their adherents, and even some men that are so indoctrinated into the Jezebel spirit of the age that they actually think that men go through menopause too. They've coined that phrase, male menopause. No, God made men and women differently. He didn't make one better than the other. He made them differently, and He positioned them differently in His kingdom authority structure. And like I said, you can rebel against it or not. And most men rebel against it by not sitting in their position of authority, by allowing their wives to rule over them. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more attractive to a woman, at least to a godly woman, than a man who is willing to take his position of authority in a kingdom government right here on planet Earth. So, why rebel against it, women? You're throwing off a power in the spiritual realm that you need desperately. So for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. And you know, most in the church where they still practice head covering, and they only practice it in the congregation. But upon thorough study of the scripture, thorough study of this subject, my late wife and many women have come to the conclusion and practice wearing the head covering anytime they're in public, because the attacks of the enemy are never ceasing and never ending. And as long as you're out there in public, as long as you're out there, you want to wear that sign that you're under His kingdom authority, ladies. I'm going to tell you, thoroughly search it out. But the problem with thoroughly searching it out is that most of the information you'll find is unbiblical and a justification for not obeying the Word of God. So we have to realize that. We have to weigh everything by the Word of our Heavenly Father as it is transmitted to us. And we have a perfect tool for studying the Scripture, eSword, e-sword, or dash if you prefer, e-sword.net. Download the program, and with it, you get the authorized King James Version, plus you have every word keyed to the Greek and the Hebrew, or the Textus Receptus, the actual words from which the King James Version was translated, so you can look even deeper and do a deeper study. And if you're interested in a study on this, I have several that I might, if you email me, I can email those to you. No, I didn't do them. Or just, you can also, there, you know, everything I found on the internet, except the pastor where I congregate on a regular basis, an unincorporated church, to be sure. yes, he did a teaching on the head covering, and I have that. I'd be glad to share that with anyone who emails me. And that email address is posted on my website, crosstheborder.org. Just put in the subject line, a head covering study or something like that, and so that we don't lose the email in the hundreds we get every day here, because we certainly do want to answer. And if you don't get an answer to an email where you actually ask a question, please do it again. You know, be persistent if you don't hear from us in a couple days, because who knows, your email might have got spammed. I don't know. And you can always call the studio here at the number posted on the FirstAmendmentRadio.com, LibertyRadioLive.com website. You'll find a phone number there with a voicemail number on it. You can usually leave a message there, because usually there's no one sitting here waiting for the phone to ring, so most of the time no one will answer it. So, but please do leave a message there. We get an email immediately if there's a voicemail left on that phone number. Okay, let's jump back into our study here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 11. And we're pretty much just finishing up this. So if you want to catch up with us, we began this particular topic last on the last program. So for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. And the angels, the scripture says, are ministering spirits. They're looking for that sign. See, angels are not omnipotent. They are not omnipresent. They cannot read your mind even. But if they see that sign on your head, they may pay particular attention. Why, even if you're an ungodly woman and you're wearing that sign on your head, a head covering, you may get some extra attention, a little help from some angels. Hey, it may save your life. It may save your soul. Let's moving on here. Chapter 11 and verse 11 of 1 Corinthians. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. And I think Paul here is making the point, which I made earlier, is that, yes, men and women, one is not better than the other. We just have our separate places in His kingdom, government, and authority structure. Okay? And before God Almighty, we, every single one of us, men and women, we stand alone before Him, and we answer to His law, which includes, did we rebel against His kingdom authority structure, or did we not? Did we, as men, abdicate our responsibility in the authority that He gave us? As women, did we try to take authority that didn't belong to us, to usurp the authority of our husbands? You know, did we rebel against His authority structure? It goes both ways. Every one of us, men and women, did we rebel against wearing the head covering? Or did we desire to wear a hat in the church? You know, did we just rebel and say, well, that doesn't matter? It's a new age, and you know, what people don't realize is the zeitgeist out there is also a Jezebel spirit, a spirit of a woman that wants to rule over a man. And that spirit of Jezebel goes to men, too, who look to their wives to accomplish things for them, just as, did look to his wife, Jezebel. He whined to his wife, Ahab, is that Ahab? Yes, I believe it is. Ahab whined to his wife, I want that over there. And she went and she killed for it to get it. Jezebel, spirit of age, very prominent throughout our society. It is so prominent that people think it's normal and don't even see how prominent and how far the Jezebel extends into every facet of our life, this Jezebel spirit of the age, part of the zeitgeist. Judge in yourselves, he continues, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? And so for Paul, in the day that he's in, you know, you judge today, you're going to judge according to the spirit of the age, and your judgment is wrong. But Paul calling on them to judge in the age that they're in, where things were common and obviously it would be a shame. We continue here. He continues in verse 14, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man, he's changing the subject here, but also going to the position of gender roles, authority, and so forth. He's continuing somewhat in the same vein. Doth it not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? And of course, here in context, Paul is speaking of a man being like a woman, having long hair like a woman. So, because the norm, what our Heavenly Father said, that a woman's hair is her glory, and it's her covering, and women are to have long, beautiful hair. And by what I mean by long is down to the middle of the back, maybe down even to the waist, you know, because I mean, it gets to the point where you sit on it, then it's kind of too much bother. But, you know, just long, beautiful, flowing hair. The glory of a woman is her hair, speaking of a physical glory. And Paul, what Paul is saying, it's a shame for a man to keep himself like a woman. Doth not even nature tell you this? You know, and then there are men today, they carry it to an extreme, because most people today practice the Roman Greco, what is the word I'm looking for? The Roman Greco style of keeping their hair, is where you go and you have it shaved and you have it rounded and, you know, it's all trimmed up and tapered. You know, and that's what most people practice today. They go to the barber, they have it done. But this really comes out of Roman Greco tradition. It's very old, because if you go back to the Old Testament, the Heavenly Father said, don't do that. It didn't please Him that people did that. And then some people see me, because I, you know, I get my hair cut once or twice a year, and it grows down to my shoulders. And they go, oh, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. I don't keep my hair for like a woman. It's not what the scripture is talking about. You take this in context, and Paul is talking about male, female, man, woman, gender roles, and their positions in authority, and also he's extending that now to your physical appearance. And I'll tell you, there is nobody that would look at me and mistake me for a woman by any means, just because my hair grows down to my shoulders. But I'm not going to have it flowing down the middle of my back and put flowers and stuff in it and wear a head covering in the church. Now see, that's what Paul's talking about. You know, cross-dressing and things like that. That's an abomination. A man who wants to be pretty like a woman or effeminate. You know, that's what he's really talking about. There's no mix-up here for me. So it's not that, because most of these people will point to me because my hair might get, you know, down my neck or over my ears or something once or twice a year. You'll see that they're clean cut. They're after the Roman Greco tradition, so they point at me. But as I said, you go back to the Old Testament, go back to the law, and the Heavenly Father said, don't taper, don't round the corners of your hair and your beard. Don't be constantly primping because that's just as bad. You know, if you're constantly, you know, if you're neurotic about your hair's got to be perfectly tapered and it's got to be perfectly rounded, you got to trim your beard and your mustache constantly every day. I think what the Heavenly Father is saying is you're spending too much time looking in the mirror, and you're just like a woman. You know, you may be clean cut, and I have a occasion since my late wife died almost 2 years ago that I've taken the occasion to go on at least one so-called Christian singles website, and most of the women are not fit for a good Christian man. But yeah, I'd probably say 80 to 90% of them aren't fit for a good Christian man, because, of course, they're all mostly Jezebels who have left their husband for no good cause. Divorced, and so you got to be careful on those. But most of them are saying one description of what they want is clean cut. They're looking for that Roman Greco ideal. They want a god of a man, you know, something they can look at and be proud of. I write to some of them. I say, I'm clean, but I ain't cut. That's right. Ain't no cookie cutter man here. Anyway, I've dwelt on that way too long. We will move on. But if a man have long hair and this, but if a woman have long hair, and this is what Paul says, if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. I agree with Paul. I like to see women with long, beautiful hair, especially if they were my wife. I would like to see them with long, beautiful hair. And for her hair is given her for a covering. And yes, I think that women should wear a head covering in the church, because sometimes that glory of a woman can be a distraction for men. Come on, you know, I'm just being honest here. It can be a distraction for men in the congregation looking at the backside of a of a woman who has beautiful, long, flowing hair. So perhaps in the congregation we have other reasons to dress modestly and the women to have their head covering. Used to be, in the synagogue and in the early church, the men would sit on one side. Well, I don't know about the synagogue, but in the early church, and still some congregations today, the women sit on one side, the men sit on the other side. And I, you know, the more I think about that, the more I kind of like that idea. There would be several benefits to this. One, it would cut down on some of the distraction. Number two, it would tend to help the women build relationships amongst themselves and tend to help the men build relationships. I mean, you know, you don't really need to sit with your wife. And then you have the men and women that are constantly fawning over each other and petting each other and stroking each other's hair in front of you. And I'll tell you what, that's a distraction. For me, it is anyway. You know, we're supposed to be there to praise our Heavenly Father and build those fellowship relationships. And so I think God, it might be a good idea if the women sat on one side and the men sat on the other. And we followed all of these traditions and these commandments that Paul is giving us here in this book. So we have some kind of commandments as to conduct, especially in the congregation. Okay, we move on here. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and Paul says that her hair is given to her as a covering. So verse 16, chapter 11, "But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." You know, here's a scripture that can be taken because of the archaic, what would be archaic construction of English today. But what is Paul really saying? He's saying, "But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom." We have no custom that would be consistent with any man's contention. So you don't like it? We don't have a custom for you. We don't have a custom that's in agreement with your contention, is what he's saying. Neither the churches of God. So he's saying, you know, this is fairly universal. You know, the women having the head coverings and everything he spoke of, this is universal throughout the church. The early church is what Paul's saying. Well, anyway, we've run into our bottom of the hour break. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll pick up here and move on when we get back. Don't go anywhere.